Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and SiriusXM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Well, how do you survive when the check is not in the mail and when there is more month than money? As the partial federal government shutdown enters nearly 2 weeks, many are feeling the financial pinch. We have some tips tonight to get you over the hump, whether you're waiting for the government shutdown to end or you want to make better money moves for the new year. In studio with us is Tara Jackson, a.k.a. Madam Money, personal finance expert and author of the best-selling book, Financial Fornication. She's got all the tips that we need to know. The phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. What are your tips? What are your questions? What are your suggestions in terms of your money, how you want to handle it for 2019? The expert's in the house, so time for you to call 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Madam Money, or Tara Jackson, this government shutdown, listen, we know in the area that we live in, it is special because it's got a lot of government workers, right? And in the next couple of days, it's going to hit. If this shutdown continues, government workers will not see a paycheck. Yeah. What should people do when financial woes come their way, as they may for those who are looking for that check in a few days and may not get it?
Yeah, this is a challenging time right now, especially when it happens and it's not your fault, right? It's based on other people's decision, and your life is messed up because of other people's decisions. So one of the things that, when it happened to me, when the checks stopped coming, is I had to do what I call in my book, Financial Fornication, Financial Abstinence. So usually we want to try to use as much credit cards and use credit if it's available because it seems like the right thing to do. Well, if you're going to use credit to get you through the little hump, make sure you only use one credit card. Don't max out everything, because when you get paid, that debt is really going to hurt you later on. And the second thing you want to do immediately is assess the mess. Assess the financial issues that are going right now. Who needs to be paid? What creditors absolutely have to be paid? And create a plan on how to communicate with the creditors. Most creditors know about the government shutdown, and some creditors have programs for the government workers. So they may have an extension on the loans. They may have a reduced payment plan, but you don't want to avoid the creditors if they call. So be proactive, call them. So try to avoid using a lot of credit, especially credit card debt that's out there. Definitely assess the mess, what's going on, what needs to be paid, what is priority at this time, and then contact your creditors so they don't have to chase after you.
What about the suggestion that OPM came out, the Office of Personal Management, that said, listen, if you're a government worker and this shutdown has hit and you've got money problems and creditors are calling you or you can't pay your rent, maybe you need to go take a look and talk to your landlord. And if you have some skills as a plumber, maybe you should provide those as a way to offset having to pay your rent. I don't know if you heard that, but is that a good suggestion? It didn't go over well with a lot of government workers.
It sounds like a person whose paycheck is not being compromised. That's advice from someone whose paycheck is not being compromised. Because I doubt if they're going to try to barter with doing plumbing work. How about that, right? So what you do want to talk to the landlord. You want to let them know. The landlords probably know that it's affecting or whatever. Ask them, is there a payment plan that they can go on? The only thing I like about the recommendation of OPM is to start, maybe it's time to start that side hustle, right? I have an organization called Dualpreneur. Dualpreneur are employees who are also entrepreneurs, right? So multiple streams of income, because I have multiple streams of bills. That's just how that works. The way my bills are set up, they really don't care if a paycheck is coming or not, right? So I have to make sure I have money coming in different sources. So whether it's that, network marketing organization that I put off to the side, if I cook, I might want to bake some cakes. And I promise you, if you make a sweet potato pie, I'm more than likely going to buy one from you. Right. So you may want to look at some other opportunities, whether you sell things. A girlfriend of mine, she was out of work, so she bought things that were $2, $3 and sold them on eBay. And she made a couple $100. Go figure. So there's different ways to be creative. But to say if you can do plumbing, like how many people really can do plumbing and how many people have a skill set that can barter with your landlord? So, I feel the same way the other workers probably feel.
Yeah, as an ode to the great J.C. Hayward, she told me one time, you have to find another rat hole. You have to be a little rat. You have to find a little rat hole. Is Uber and Lyft a good little rat hole for those who are looking for that side hustle?
It could be. Uber and Lyft, it could be. Depending on the area that you're in, if it's highly populated, they're always looking for drivers. Just know they don't accept everyone. So if you have tickets or if you have issues with insurance and, you know, if your car is not up to par, those are things to take into consideration. But if you have the car, the insurance, and the time, Uber and Lyft is a great way. I use them all the time, so I don't use cabs. I use Uber and Lyft, so.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Our conversation tonight, being financially fit in 2019, being ready. What do you have set aside? Are you a government worker? Are you worried that this partial shutdown will continue? There's a new Congress in the House, but you still have got a divided Congress. The Senate is controlled by Republicans, the House by Democrats, and Republicans say no bill will go through to end the shutdown if they don't get the $5 billion for President Trump's wall. So that will affect your finances, especially if you're a government worker. We'd like to hear from you, government worker, private worker in a private company, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're joined in studio by Tara Jackson, a.k.a. Madam Money. She's a personal finance expert and author of the best-selling book, Financial Fornication. Tara Jackson, how many people are financially coping, you think, with the shutdown?
It's probably a small percentage, because a small percentage speak savings and investing, right? So in my upcoming book called The Four Financial Languages, I talk about the four dominant languages. And the four dominant languages is saving, spending, investing, and giving. And majority of people are spenders. We're spenders. I'm a financial fornicator, you know. So
is that a bad thing? Because, you know, you see that word in your book. I know folks are going, what do you mean by that?
You know, I have this organization called Financial Fornicators Anonymous. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's another story. But
is that for another show?
It's for another show.
Okay.
But being a spender is not bad. Excessive spending is bad, just like being a saver is not bad, but excessive saving, hoarding could be bad. Excessive investing, you know, in different businesses that fail could be bad. Giving all your money away could be bad, right? So being a spender is not bad. It's just sometimes we chase the transaction because it makes us feel good. In my book, Financial Fornication, I talk about how I was when I felt the least, I spent the most. Right. So if I'm dealing with money issues, I'm feeling bad. I want to feel good. So I'm going to do a transaction. And whether that transaction is food, whether it's buying shoes, whether it's doing it now, in our mind, we know that we should not be buying this. But what's going to make us feel good? We're chasing the pleasure principle because we don't like feeling bad. And so we have to find other ways in which to do that, especially if we're dealing with the pinch of this financial crunch right now.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about financing, getting your finances together, how to handle maybe being in a financial crunch right now and how to handle that even though the new year has started. We also want to know, how are you dealing with the shutdown, especially if you're a government worker? What are you doing? Are you setting aside money? Are you worried? Are you set? Again, we'd like to hear from you. 202-319-7810. Let's go to the phone lines. And DJ calling from Hyattsville. Go right ahead, DJ, with your question or your comment. DJ, are you there? Oh, I think we lost DJ. DJ, hopefully give us a call back, calling from Hyattsville. Tara, what happens, I want to stay on this government thing if we can for a while, because we know oftentimes you may have two adults in a household, two married, a couple that's married or a couple that's living together, and both of them could be working for the federal government. That is not unusual in our area. Does that make it even more ominous for this partial shutdown situation about when it will end, because you've got two people now who will not possibly have income coming in.
Yeah, especially if you're living off of two incomes, that is definitely going to be a challenge. And if it's no income coming in, it's kind of a safety net if you have one person that doesn't work for the government at this time and that person is getting some form of payment. And it's the same boat as single parents, you know, single parents like daycare. These, you know, workers, they have to pay for daycare. Daycare is not cheap. And so we got to figure out, and what I was going to mention before is that this furlough doesn't just affect the workers. It affects businesses as well, right? Because now people don't have the money to spend. So if they don't have the money to spend in other areas, then the supply-demand thing goes out the window. And so now other people are being affected. Even small business owners are being affected because people aren't paying for their products and services. So what the government doesn't realize is that them pouting in a corner because they can't get a wall is negatively affecting the constituents of which they say that they serve, which doesn't make sense. Doesn't make C-E-N-T-S and doesn't make S-E-N-S-E within that, because now you want the taxpayers to pay for the wall, but you stop the income and now you can't pay taxes. I'm just saying. I go on and
around. It makes a lot of sense to me. 202-319-7810. We're talking about financial fitness. That's the term I'll put on it for 2019. How to get your finances straight and how to deal with those crises that may pop up. And the shutdown may be one in your household. Let's go back to the phone lines. DJ is back with us calling from Hyattsville. DJ, your question or comment, and tell us how you're dealing with this shutdown and whether or not it's affecting you.
Hi, you guys. Thanks for having me on. And it's DJ, like being boy. But anyways, I am an Uber driver or a rideshare driver. I drive for all three rideshare companies, and we are feeling the effect of the shutdown because there's less activity in the city. I drive in Washington, D.C., and I have noticed almost like a $200 to $300 deficit in my income. And I just wanted to, you know, let the workers know that we are standing in solidarity with you. We feel the pain. And so, you know, they're not alone in this. It's not only government workers, but the people that support government workers that are shut down as well.
Well, thank you so much, BJ, for that. And I think what's so interesting about her is, I think she said she drives for Uber. We talked about if there's a shutdown and you've got a good clean record and a nice car, you can drive for Uber. But she says there is a trickle-down effect. She's not making the same money as she normally would. And I think that goes back to your point of how it affects all businesses surrounding. I know there was a story about what was going on with the National Zoo closing its doors, and so all of that trickle that will come out of the National Zoo and those stores around, that's not happening.
So here's the biggest trickle effect. So now I'm reading that we're not going to be able to get our refunds if it continues, right? So if the government shutdown continues, that may delay the refunds. And a lot of people rely on those refunds, especially they were expecting a refund to maybe get over the financial hump of the shutdown. And now this news is coming out. So I'm not sure the intent of this of the government in that and what they see, but that's not a part of this, you know, show. One thing I do want to say is to get over the hump, and I call it surviving the shutdown. Surviving the shutdown, the first thing that we may want to do is ask for help. A lot of times we don't want to ask for help. You know, I'm a proud person too, and asking for help can be very painful. But a lot of family members, a lot of friends, they know what you're going through. And so it's okay to ask for help. You're not in this alone. So contact someone that you know that may be able to assist you. I don't lend money to family members. If I can't afford to give it to you, I can't afford it because I don't want that to be the demise of our relationship, you know, borrowing money, right?
And we know that that can happen. And it with money such a big deal in life in general, and now we know with this shutdown as a government worker and outside of that and the effects of it, you've got an event that's coming up here that can help some folks and get them on the right track. Talk a little bit about that.
That is the Boss Brunch, Business Owner Success Strategy. So if you are an entrepreneur, want to be an entrepreneur, this is the year to come because we're teaching you how to leverage media, marketing, and branding to expose your business, to expand your brand, and to make more profits. So you're not making profits in your backyard. You can be international and national.
And where will it be held?
It will be held in Arlington, Virginia, in the D.C. area at the Crystal Gateway Marriott.
All right, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. This conversation will continue, Being Fit Financially 2019. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant, in for Harold Fisher. This is the Insight segment. Tonight, we are talking about your finances. It's 2019. We're only 3 days into the new year. Have you set financial goals for yourself? Are you ready in case there is a crisis, especially what's happening now with the government shutdown, whether you're a government worker, whether you rely in some way in a connection to the government being up and running? As someone called in, they're an Uber driver and they've seen service already shrinking because there aren't those folks up there who are taking Uber, maybe from the Capitol, maybe as senators, maybe as staff workers. All of that can be connected to the shutdown, but we're just not talking about the shutdown. We're talking about your pocketbook just in general, no matter what you do. Joining us to further this conversation along is Tara Jackson. She's AKA Madam Money, personal finance expert and author of the best-selling book, Financial Fornication. So she's here to answer all of your questions and give you advice. Again, we'd like to hear from you. How are you dealing with the shutdown and how might it be affecting you? 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phone lines. Will is calling from Dallas, Texas. Will, go right ahead with your question or comment. And if you can, tell us if the government shutdown has any impact on your situation.
Okay. Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Good.
I'm so glad you got this subject on here tonight. But I used to work for the government. I left D.C. coming out to Dallas 2 years ago, but I had retired 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, at what point do this thing becomes unconstitutional, being that this guy is targeting just the federal workers? Out of all Americans that live in this country, these people are picked out and they're being forced to support something just because they work for the government. And that seems unconstitutional. Now, do me a favor and just, can you hold me on the line until she answers the question, because I won't be on the other side. If you hang up, I won't hear her answer.
All right. Well, if I can jump in for a second. We don't want to fall too far off the subject, but I will. I think I can tell you, Will, that it's not unconstitutional. They're not doing anything outside of the Constitution. Now, they are required to fund the government, but the timetable on that, there's really nothing in the Constitution that says that. And so that's why it can be done. So I don't think the Constitution plays a role in here. Good question, but I don't think that's an issue.
It doesn't play a role in it. And they've done it before. Mm-hmm. It just didn't play out that long. And so you didn't have someone, you know, holding it for ransom before. But it's happened before.
But the feeling, though, that Will has is that when they do this, you're picking on the government workers.
Yeah.
And you know how folks feel sometimes
is their reality. I mean, and that's a valid feeling, because you know the president is still getting paid.
Because some folks will say, "Hey, wait a minute! If we're going to have a shutdown, Senate, the House, the staff,
the administration, the entire administration shouldn't get paid. The House and the Senate shouldn't get paid. Nobody should get paid if the workers." So I don't really understand how that could, you know, be that the decision makers still get paid, but affect the workers, which affects our total economy.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about your money. How are you handling it? How's the shutdown handling you, if it is? We'd like to hear from you. Let's go back to the phone lines. Elaine is calling from Largo, Maryland. Elaine, thanks for joining us. Your question, comment, and if you can, how the shutdown might be affecting you, if it is.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for having this very timely subject. Many of us are state and local government workers,
mm-hmm.
and the challenge we're facing is that much of our 401k are locked up in the stock market,
mm-hmm.
which, as you can see, the recent activity. So our concern is, what steps should we take to sort of prevent loss, because we're working so that we can retire, but at this point seems like much of that is in jeopardy.
Right. Great question, Elaine. I know normally they say, hey, just ride it out. Don't start messing with your 401k and things will straighten out. But She's saying, should we do something here, Madam Money?
Well, if you have the 401k, you can determine, you know, how much you're going to take from it for emergencies. And as long as you choose to pay it back, you can do that. Because she's right. If you tap into your 401k, if you can get to your 401k, it's going to affect you later on down the line with your retirement. But a lot of them, it is tied up with the stock market. So it's not just a matter of transferring money over. It's a process to do that.
But she's also worried, too, that if the market isn't doing well, then that means your 401k probably is not going to do well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to have an effect on your 401k. But you also have to understand that this is for the long haul. It's going to have a short-term negative effect on the 401k. But if you keep it there, you know, the market's going to reset itself, hopefully with a new president, in the future. So it depends. So if you are almost to retirement, that's a scary feeling, because the more negative it has, the more it affects you.
Great point.
And you don't have the time to recover. Now, if you have about 20, 30 years to retirement, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to retire in the next 10 or 15 years and you lose about 40% of your 401k, that's a big chunk. That means you're going to have to work longer. So retirement is no longer an age. Retirement is a dollar amount, right?
Mm-hmm.
How much will you need to be able to survive and sustain your lifestyle and for the rest of your life after work? Within that. So you need to determine what that number is and try to build up to that number. And if you're at that number, try to, you know, compensate for what you're lacking right now. I wouldn't take out a lot of that money because you're going to be taxed on it. You know, so you have to think, and it could be a penalty as well, depending on how you take it out and what age you are.
And when we talk about making better money moves in 2019, and you're talking about retirement, if you have not, number one, started preparing for retirement, right? Is that a problem? And number two, how do you start? When you say determine what you will need, if someone came to you and said, Tara Jackson, a.k.a. Madam Money, how do I know what I need? Do I base it on what I need now or what I'll need in 10 or 20 years, maybe when I've paid off my house and I'm done paying for college for my kids?
Okay, so it's relative, right? So again, retirement is a number. It's not it's a dollar amount. It's not an age. And so if your plan is to work for the rest of your life, go for it. But if you want some rest and you want to enjoy the longest vacation of your life, you got to start as soon as possible,
mm-hmm.
right? And so with people who are just starting that, if you have a 401k, 403b, TSP, you know, 520, yeah, any of those that you have, you want to start off small, maybe start off 1%, and then work your way up to the match if you have a match. Now, if you have a 401k and they're matching you and you're not contributing, that's free money.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to work that out. That's free money. So we definitely want to start taking the money from the employers with the free money. How
sure,
about that,
yeah,
right?
That's an easy one.
That's an easy one. And so a lot of people spend more than 1% of their income. They spend more than 10% of their income on nonsense, but they don't give it to their future self. And so your future self is that emergency, that opportunity, that retirement plan, you know. And a lot of us, we live paycheck to paycheck. That's why we don't have a savings to go back to within that. So.
Well, speaking of that, so we know the rule of thumb typically is, right, to have about 6 months saved up in savings. But as you said, the reality is many of us are living, right, paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
How do you get beyond that when there's often more, as the line is, month than money? I love that line. I love that term. Right? There's more month than there's money.
Right. Back to what I said before, you got to assess the mess. You got to assess the money mess. You got to figure out where you're spending money, where you may not need to spend money, or you can reduce it. For example, I love to eat out. Okay. When I assessed my mess, I was eating out $1,200 a month worth. And that's, you know, because I was lazy and I didn't want to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner 5 times a week. And, you know, Saturday, you know, we want to go out and do a little extra. Sunday after church, you know, we got to go out. So we're essentially, you know, spending money on food for 7 days a week, right? When I determined what that was, I wasn't going to stop eating out. I'm just not that chick, right? I'm a financial fornicator, you know? What I did do is say, okay, instead of $1,200, let's try $600, okay? And then let's put the other $600 someplace else where I need it to go to, paying off debt, emergency opportunity plan, whatever. And so I still do what I like. I just don't do it as much. So I take my lunch more. I don't take it every day, but I cook more, you know? And I find that when I cook more, I kind of weigh less. How about that, you know?
Eating better and saving money.
And I can fit my fat jeans better.
The win-win. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. She is Madam Money, a.k.a. Tara Jackson. She's a personal finance expert and author of the best-selling book, Financial Fornication. The phone lines are open. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about your finances, how to make the best of them, no matter what you have, how to handle them, how to save up, how to invest, how to do the right things with your money as we are moving into 2019. Again, the phone lines are open. Let's go back to the phone lines. And Rico calling from D.C. And if I've got that wrong, Rico, make sure you pronounce it the right way.
That's it. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I really like the show. I really enjoy the conversations. Madam Money's right on spot. I work in a school system, Prince George's County. So furlough doesn't really bother me or the shutdown, but I'm also an entrepreneur. So I just want to encourage some people who are working in government to, you know, take note that secure jobs are no longer secure because of, you know, because of automation and because of downsizing and things like that. You know, the job's no longer secure. For me as an entrepreneur, also I'm able to ship things, you know, because of the internet, I have a direct-to-consumer relationship, and I'm able to use things like crypto coin, but it has no exchange rate. So just able to, you know, just able to continue to hustle, work my 9-to-5, pay bills, have something because, again, jobs aren't secure.
Yeah, so Rico, Tara, is...
is a dualpreneur. He is the classic... an awesome dualpreneur. Those dualpreneurs have a 9-to-5, but their 5-to-9 or their 5-to-11 is building up their business. So think about it this way. A passenger plane has at least 4 engines, right?
Right.
Why does it only why does it have 4 engines when it probably only needs 1 to stay in the air?
It's a backup.
It's back. It's fail safe, right? So if one of the engines fail, at least they have 3 more. If 2 fail, at least they have 2 more. If all 3 fails, at least they have 1 to stay up in the air, right? So that's the whole concept of being a dualpreneur. You have a multiple engine income coming in. So if, you know, it's a fail safe. So if the furlough takes longer than it should, at least you have another engine of income that's coming in. Because again, my income needs to pay multiple streams of bills. So if I only have one river of income and that dries up, my bills don't get paid, right? So you have to really think about that. And a lot of people are like, well, I don't want to start a business. Okay, that's your choice. But you have to determine how to create multiple streams of income or have a great safety net of money stashed away. So when you do get that refund check, you might want to stash it just in case something like this happens again.
All right, Rico, thank you so much for your call.
And, Rico, you're awesome.
And great success to you. Continue doing what you do. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'd like to hear from you. How is the partial shutdown affecting you? What are you doing with your money? How are you handling your money? And what are your plans for 2019? Joining us in studio is Tara Jackson. She's the AKA Madam Money. She's a personal finance expert. She's an author of the best-selling book, Financial Fornication. So if you want to hear from her and get some free advice, this is the place to do it. We're going to continue this conversation on the Daily Drum and our Insight segment right after we take this quick break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about your money. What are you doing with it in 2019? How to make the best moves. How to have a soft cushion in case you have to land from high up because of the partial shutdown and your money stops coming in. And if it's not the shutdown, you're just having some issues with money, or you want to do better with your money, or you're doing so well, you want to give us some advice or share it with our listeners. We want to hear from you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Joining us in studio tonight is Tara Jackson, a.k.a. Madam Money. She's a personal finance expert and author of the best-selling book, Financial Fornication. We're going to go right back to the phone lines right now. Kerensky is calling from South Carolina. Go right ahead, Kerensky, with your question or comment and maybe how the shutdown is affecting you, if it is at all.
I'm a former government employee, but some of the things that you guys are saying are spot on. And in addition to the driving option in terms of some of those driver apps, there are also apps out there that allow you to sell some things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've been living high and you probably got some impulse purchases around the house, I'm not going to plug any of those apps because people can find them for themselves and they're not paying me to say them on the air.
Mm-hmm.
But, smart man.
They can go online and actually sell that extra Xbox that you get that you might have that you don't need as an adult or whatever, and get rid of some of your unnecessary pleasures,
mm-hmm.
I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's somebody, you know, that's like a moderate level if you're just having moderate issues. But if you're having like a major issue, if you're a government employee, and you've been had the foresight to contribute to the savings plan, you can actually request a loan upon that also. So, you know, there are options out there.
Right.
And, it's a chance to be resilient and really find out, you know, how you're doing in order to get you through it. I'll take your comments off the air.
All right, thank you so much, Kerensky. Appreciate your call.
Kerensky is awesome as well. He's absolutely right. A lot of us spenders, when we are financial fornicators, we have a spending addiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we buy things that we don't necessarily need all the time. So have you ever been in someone's closet and they have a whole bunch of pairs of shoes
mm-hmm.
that's never been out the box
mm-hmm.
or clothes that still have tags on them?
Yes.
If they are in the situation where they need some extra cash, that is an opportunity, especially if the clothing is new, if the electronics are fairly new. And yes, you can sell them on eBay, Amazon, I'll say it.
Mm-hmm. Let go.
You can
Craigslist.
Go. Yeah, exactly. You can sell that to make some extra cash. And I definitely am a proponent of that, especially if you have things in your closet and it's taking up closet space and you're not even going to wear,
mm-hmm.
especially clothes that are fairly new that you can't fit anymore, whether you've gotten smaller or, in my case, you've just gotten more voluptuous, whatever
I like
you want to call
it. There you go.
It.
Let's call it that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Also, one of the things you may want to consider is looking at your legal options. This is way, way down in the road. You can contact CCCS or you can contact an attorney if it's necessary to do that. If you are already in a financial pinch and now this is really taking you over the edge, there are options that are there. I don't promote any of those legal options.
Are we talking bankruptcy? Something
yes.
Of that
so that may be, but bankruptcy is not always a good thing. I've had several clients who did bankruptcy and they were worse off after the bankruptcy.
How so?
So because the bankruptcy plan wasn't, it was still too much for them to pay, you know, to do that. Or they, especially if you're a federal worker, you have a fiscal responsibility clause in some of your contracts. And so it affects if your credit score goes down a certain amount of points, it could affect your job.
Hmm.
So you want to keep all of those things in mind. If you have certain licenses, bankruptcy can affect that as well. So that is a last resort. If you find that credit is just overwhelming, you can contact CCCS. You can also contact the creditors and let them know. As long as you tell them, you know, they know that you have a willingness to pay,
mm-hmm.
they usually work with you. Creditors don't work with you if it's you have an ability, but you don't have the willingness to pay. So contact them and say, look, this is really, you know, hurting me. What can you offer? Is there anything that you can offer? Because I do want to pay you something.
Let's talk about the B word, budgeting. How important is it to have a budget, and how do you create one?
Okay, so all the spenders out in the world, including myself, just cringed when you said budget, okay? And it's a psychological thing, right? So when I hear budget, I hear diet, die, deprivation, I can't, don't spend. Mm. And so you don't tell a spender not to spend money, right? Because then we'll spend it out of spite. That's just what we'll do, right? So just like a saver loves a budget because they like control, they like to know where everything is, they like budgets, right? Spenders need a spending plan. Just like I don't do diets. I fail at every diet that I go on, right? So I need an eating plan. I don't need you to tell me what I can't eat because now I'm gonna eat it. Tell me I can't eat a Big Mac. Now I want to eat a Big Mac, right? So tell me what I can eat. Tell me all the great things I can eat that I am so overwhelmed with it. So it's the same thing with a spending plan. We want to create that spending plan. We want to, you know, spend on savings, spend on investing, spend on life, and spend on fun. We just want to do that. And I recommend everyone, if you're, you know, spend on giving. You know, the law of prosperity is that you can't receive with a closed fist. So you give, right? You have to save. Pay yourself first. You're worth more than anything you buy at a store. So make sure you put some money aside for yourself. Now, the last time I was on the show, I talked about the savings account versus a side piece account. And everybody knows what a side piece is, right? We're going to keep it PG-17.
Well, we already got fornication in your book.
Yeah, exactly. So a side piece account is that savings account that's attached to your main checking account. So when you don't have enough money in your checking account, it taps that asset.
To cover.
I said asset, right? To cover those cover those charges. And so a lot of people have this side piece account. In their mind, they're thinking it's a savings account, but there's nothing saved in there. Every pay period, it's the same $5 that was in it before, even though you put $100 in there. So it's a psychological thing. So we have to create a mama account, a reverence account that's outside of the financial institution of where you have your main checking account.
Okay.
Because mama doesn't need to know what's going on in your house, right? So you can set it and forget it, whether it's $5 a pay period, $10, $50, $100. You want to automate it and direct deposit it into that account because we can't spend what we don't have.
And when you say automate it, you have to set it aside and just have them take it out. Nothing that you have to do.
Right. You want it to, if you can do payroll deduction and set it to that account, direct deposit into that other account. I have another mama account that I don't even see. I don't know how much is in there. I get e-statements, so the statements doesn't come into me, so I have to log in. I don't have a debit card or an ATM card with it as well. And it's at a credit union that has only two branches, and they're not close to me. So if I need to get the money, I can get access to the money, but it's not easy for me to transfer just because I want something.
And you purposely set it up that way.
I purposely set it up that way because I'm a spender, and I know that when I want something and I get that urge, I'm going to want to spend, and nobody's going to tell me not to spend my money. Now I know how to speak multiple financial languages, so I'm fiscally bilingual. So I know the importance of savings. I know the importance of investing and giving. But, you know, when things get bad and I start feeling bad, my first instinct is to spend to make me feel better. The transaction is orgasmic for me.
And you are not alone. Would you say many people are like that?
Many
That's the shopping,
are,
right?
Many people are like that. And it's not a woman thing and it's not just a man thing. We all have that transactional type thing if you're a spender. Now, savers, they get a high off of building up savings, earning interest, seeing their savings grow. Investors get that high off of a return on investment. Whatever it is, what is the return on investment? Givers get a high off of helping someone, you know, feeling needed and helping them. And so wherever your pleasure principle is, that's where you're going to put most of your money. You know, that's why savers are probably not, they're discomfort, it's not comfortable, they're uncomfortable right now, but they still have something to maintain their lifestyle, even though if it's a bare minimum, you know. Investors may have some investments they can cash out or whatever. Givers, you know, they usually will have something, but they're probably the ones giving to the people that are furloughed. And the spenders, we live paycheck to paycheck, and we got to connect with a saver or an investor or a giver to help us through this. So there are certain things that we can start doing even as spenders, right? And I'm talking to people that are like me, who are spenders, you know, start small, get that mama account. You know, I create a money tree. I build money trees, right? Mm-hmm. I have a mason jar. And every time I break a dollar or break a 10 or whatever, I dump my change in the money jar and it starts off brown and silver like the land. And then I throw a few dollars in there. And mm-hmm. if I break a 10 and I have a 5, I put 5s in there. And those are the leaves. And so when the money jar gets so full that I can't grow the tree anymore, mm-hmm. I deposit it into my mama account. Mm. Or it may be for my vacation. Or there's something I really wanted to buy, electronics, because I love electronics. Mm-hmm. And so I have a purpose. Spenders need a purpose to save. Why am I saving? So like, we don't understand rainy day funds, right? It's mm-hmm. raining outside. Can I spend money now? Mm. I don't understand window shopping. I think that's the most asinine thing in the world, but my grandmother loved window shopping.
She didn't spend any money.
She didn't spend no money.
She just got the look.
I don't understand.
That made her feel good.
That's like being hungry and going to a steak restaurant and saying you can only look at the steaks. No, I don't play that.
In our last few minutes with Tara Jackson, a.k.a. Madam Money, in your book, Financial Fornication, you correlate money to a relationship. What does a good and bad money relationship look like?
Well, I talk about that because that was me. So I had I was very promiscuous with my credit, mm-hmm. right? Not just one, but multiple. I used my credit cards for almost everything, and I really realized that when I used my credit card to pay for a value meal at McDonald's.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was very promiscuous, and I had all these financial one-night stands with credit when I should have been using cash, and I ended up with financial STDs, substantially tremendous debt. And then babies hurt because it not only infected and affected me, it infected and affected my family. So when we wanted to go on vacation, I couldn't do it because I didn't save up enough money because I spent and I have to go to work so I can make money to pay all the bills and all the debt that I created. And so when I realized that, I had to have a better relationship. So avoid doing that. You'll learn more about that in my book, Financial Fornication, available at madammoney.com or amazon.com.
And you've got an event coming up in the next week and a half. Tell us a little bit about it before we leave.
Next Saturday on the 12th, it is the Boss Brunch, and it is for women entrepreneurs or wannabe entrepreneurs to learn how to leverage their business and expand their brand nationally, internationally through media, marketing, and branding and understanding the difference. We have a great lineup. Go to bossbrunch.net for more information and to register.
She is Tara Jackson, a.k.a. Madam Money. She's a personal finance expert, and she's the author of the best-selling book, Financial Fornication. Go out and get it and make sure you get to the Boss Brunch. Oh, that's a mouthful. January 12th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's the Daily Drum on HR Voices and Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Thursday, January 3rd. I'm Bramante Bryant in for Harold Fisher.